I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error. Go stronger.
Common Sense, Blue Collar Catholic Radio. Terry, we got a guest here, Father Dave Nix. He's saying hi to you.
Father Dave, it's always good to see you. Are you reporting for duty, sir?
I'm reporting for duty.
I love it.
Hey, Terry, we got a priest, so I'm going to have him do the gospel.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, I know my place, dude.
I was just going to say, Jess.
All right, Padre, you're on gospel.
You just sprung this on me 30 seconds.
That's okay. That's good.
All righty. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Yeah.
The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who is called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord, praise you, Lord Jesus, Jesus Christ.
Couple of thoughts, Father?
Yeah, a couple of thoughts.
You hit me.
So, Jesse and I were just talking about apologetics, how it's kind of a lost art.
Oh, yeah.
And usually when I'm talking about Protestants about yesterday's feast, the Immaculate Conception, I actually bring them to today's gospel in the Novus Ordo. Mm-hmm. And if you look in the Greek, I know you guys know this because you guys are real strong on your apologetics, but just to remind your listeners,
sure.
If you look at the Greek word for full of grace, sometimes Protestant ones do it as favored one.
Yeah.
But the Greek is a past participle. Yep. It's kekaritomene. And anytime you have like two consonants on a participle, it's the perfect, meaning it's absolutely been completed. Well, kekaritomene is the same word that we have for its root word, which is hadis, which is grace. So it means perfectly graced to the point that it's overfilling and fulfilled, if you look at that. Perfectly graced to the point that it's already a redeemed and fully graced human being. So it doesn't mean just highly favored. It
right.
really is the strongest biblical apologetic of yesterday's Feast of the Immaculate Conception, that Mary is at that point, by the retroactive merits of Christ on the cross, saved not only from sin, but from ever sinning. She was saved from original sin to the point that, as I heard a priest say recently, it was God between Mary and sin at the very moment of her conception in Anne's womb.
Father, I just have to say, 30 years ago, a bishop, an auxiliary bishop of New York, said the very same thing. Guess who? To his bishops. He taught his bishops what you just taught us. And he said, "I cringe every time I hear that reading when they say, 'Oh, highly favored daughter.'" And guess what? I do too, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's where we bring them. It's right there in the Bible.
Yep.
That Mary is.
Good job.
Fully graced, fully. I heard someone describe it as a cup of coffee overflowing when you really study that word.
Good analogy.
Overflowing yeah. with grace at that moment.
Well said.
Awesome. Terry, you got a video you want to play?
I do. I've got a video. But first, I want to tell people 40 years ago today marks the death of Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. And as everybody knows, we've been talking about his beatification being delayed for the 21st of December. And I've been keeping you updated on what's going on. And well, right now I have a video from the Bishop of Peoria, and it's a request for prayer for this beatification. So, Mr. Engineer, play that clip.
Hello. I am Bishop Daniel Janke of the Diocese of Peoria, here in front of the tomb of the venerable servant of God, Fulton J. Sheen. I know how deeply saddened we all are about the postponement of the beatification of Fulton Sheen. But in these turbulent times, when our faith is being tested, which even Fulton Sheen prophesied, we need to remain faithful to prayer like Archbishop Sheen. We are confident in the power of prayer. Let us petition God unceasingly to remove all obstacles for the beatification of Fulton Sheen. So please join me beginning on December the 12th, the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe, so that under her immaculate mantle, we begin a special 9-day novena, asking God to please raise up Fulton Sheen and pour out his blessings on his cause for the beatification and canonization. Please go to celebratesheen.com for more information on this special novena. God love you.
God love you, Bishop, for speaking up. Wow.
Barry, you got some thoughts on this topic.
Why do you think
this is happening?
Well, I'm going to tell you, because Bishop Sheen's message is the antidote for the church today. We have a lot of modernists in the church teaching things that are not consistent with what the church taught for 2,000 years. Let's be honest. And remember, Jesse, let's be honest. Remember what Pope St. Gregory the Great said. It's better that scandals be exposed than for truth to be suppressed. And right now, the truth is being suppressed even by high-level people in the church. And so Fulton Sheen is going to come out and tell us with good theology and philosophy what the church really teaches in a compelling way. That's embarrassing to people who are modernists. And so,
here's my take. Let me give you my take, then I'll give Father's take on this.
Go ahead.
Towards the end of Fulton Sheen's life, I mean, he sat there at Vatican II. He knew all these guys.
Oh, yeah.
He knew all the modernists. Okay,
oh, yeah.
He knew them. Towards the end of his life, you'll find a lot of his lectures where he spoke out against the bishops.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, towards the end.
He spoke
out against communism.
He did.
He was speaking out against, modernism, secular humanism. You look at some of his older stuff right before he dies.
Yes.
He was talking about homosexuality.
He did.
This has to be rejected.
We played it.
Yeah, we played it the other day. I mean, just a list of things that he said towards the end of his life. I think he upset the apple cart.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that a lot of his brother bishops were not on his side of the fence, so to speak. And he was saying things. Let's just be honest. I mean, towards the end of his life, a lot of his lectures, he really red-pilled Terry a lot on communism. He was really strong on that.
Yeah.
And that's part of the infiltration into the church.
That's right.
That's why I believe these Masons and communists that knew that he had their number, they don't want this guy to get canonized. Father, what's your take?
Father, give us your take.
Yeah. Well, so when I entered seminary, I kind of made fun of Sheen for being too conservative because I entered kind of liberal.
I love it. Be honest.
Slightly to my
left. Why don't you tell me what you really think?
Yeah, exactly. But then, you know, probably the first 4 years of my priesthood, I actually got everything he had ever said. I have 6 days straight still on my iPhone of everything Sheen said that I listened to. And, I do believe from the 70s and 80s, he died in late 70s.
Yeah.
I do believe in the 1970s he was too much of the reformer, the reform. But here's where I agree with you guys, that his stand against communism was singular.
Oh, yeah.
And as I listened to those 6 days straight, I would put it on my iPod or iPhone through the first few years of my priesthood. And what I found remarkable was, like Jesse said, every single talk, somehow communism came in there. And
even
Catholics thought he was crazy for that. The 50s, the 60s, the 70s, it was like, okay, that's in the Far East. What are you so worried about here? But for some reason, he really saw that as a major threat. And so he stood up against communism when nobody else in the Catholic Church was.
Well, let me demonstrate what you both are saying with facts. 1976, August, Eucharistic Congress. Bishop Sheen got up there and complained about the Eucharist being put on the side of churches. and priests being 10 gods. If you want to, you don't believe me, I have the recording of that.
I remember that
talk. Yeah, there's 10 gods.
Like a tin god.
Yeah. And he also, in 1979, 3 months before he died at St. Patrick's Cathedral, St. John Paul II came to that mass at the cathedral when all the bishops in the country were there at that mass. And here's what happened, folks. Fulton Sheen was there. No, he was downstairs praying before a little Blessed Sacrament chapel. And St. John Paul II says, hey, where's Fulton Sheen? And the bishop said, oh, well, we don't know. Well, he says, well, find him. I want him here. So they went and found Bishop Sheen outside the church down below. They bring him up. Pope John Paul II gives him a hug. I have a picture of this. It's in his autobiography, Treasure in Clay. And he says, Fulton Sheen, you have written and spoken well of our Lord and Savior. You are a loyal son of the church. And puts him in the front seat right there in front of for the mass. And all the bishops were embarrassed, okay? I'm sorry, I'm going to say it. They didn't want Bishop Sheen there. Why? I'll tell you why. Because they don't agree with his orthodoxy, what he taught, the perennial teachings of the church. And so that's demonstrating to us, Jesse and Father, that Bishop Sheen wasn't liked by a modern church. And one last thing I'll say. Not long after he died, months later, I was in February 1980. I'm at the Religious Ed Congress. And I've got his Bishop Sheen Life is Worth Living cassette tapes. And what do? I'm promoting him at the event. Hey, you got to get these $25 for 25 cassette tapes. It's a great price. See a priest coming by. Father, you got to get these. I'll give them to you. He says, hey, young man, stop messing with Bishop Sheen. He's antiquated. The church doesn't need him anymore. You might as well throw those in the trash. Well, you know what I did? I published millions of copies of those CDs in the last 40 years. So, Father, go smoke that. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk more about how we can build you up in the faith. At the Terry and Jesse Show, we have Father Dave here, a guest. Not often we have a priest with us. When we come back, we'll share more to inspire you. We'll be right back.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Jesse Romero. Join me on a pilgrimage of faith and discovery to Poland for the 100th year anniversary of the birth of St. John Paul II in May of 2020. Together, we'll experience the faith, beauty, and culture of Poland and become imbibed with the spirit of John Paul II. We'll visit the town of Wadowice, where John Paul was born, and the city of Krakow, where he was ordained and later became bishop. We'll also travel to Jasna Góra and visit Our Lady of Częstochowa, and we'll have a chance to venerate the original image of the merciful Jesus at St. Faustina's convent and the city that St. Maximilian Kolbe built for the Immaculata. Finally, we'll pay a visit to Auschwitz, where St. Maximilian Kolbe was martyred. This is the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to worship and discover your own faith at places where St. John Paul II grew in his own love for our Lord. For more information or how to join this pilgrimage, visit my website at jesseromero.com.
Jesus said in Matthew 26, "Stay awake and pray that you may not enter into temptation." According to St. Ephrem, Jesus, who feared nothing, experienced fear and asked to be freed from death, although he knew it was impossible. How much more must we persevere in prayer before temptation assails us, so that we may be freed when the test has come? May God grant that we may withstand temptation and carry out His will in all things.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Blue Collar Catholic Radio. This is rated PG. Praise God.
Amen.
I am very troubled.
Yeah, you think?
Terry, by this article that I've seen. It says, Pope Francis compares Trump to Herod, who tried to kill Jesus.
Quite an accusation.
It says, Pope Francis has compared U.S. President Donald Trump to the murderous King Herod, who massacred innocent children in ancient Palestine while trying to kill the baby Jesus, a Jesuit journal revealed on Thursday. My question is, first of all, I would say, I remember we were told about withholding judgment. In fact, by Pope Francis.
Yep.
He says, who am I to judge about a homosexual priest? The Catechism says that there's a phrase called rash judgment, and that applies to everybody, lay people all the way to the top.
Yep.
A rash judgment is saying something when you don't have all the facts.
Amen.
And to me, Terry, I'll just be honest with you. This to me is very hurtful. I'll tell you why, because I want my church to teach me how to get to heaven. I want my church to teach me how to be saved,
yep.
i.e. the Eucharist, sanctifying grace, the yep. sacraments, live in a state of grace. I don't want to hear my church, especially the top church leader, making statements that basically are embraced by the culture of death in America, the culture of death party.
Well,
because if there is a Herod in America, I'll just say it's the Democrat Party.
Right.
Just look at their party platform.
Sure.
All you got to do is read it. DNC.com.
Yep.
Click on it and go to party platform and see who accepts child killing all 9 months. So I don't know, Terry, why he would make a statement like this. But it's in fact, Terry, on the other hand, Donald Trump is the most pro-life president we've ever had. Know that because I know Father Frank Pavone, who's his advisor. He says, Jess, if you look at what he signed by executive order, he says, I've been around since Reagan. He goes, nobody has ever done even a fraction of what this president has done with his pen for the pro-life movement. What say you?
Well, Jesse, it's just the facts, but I have a question because I go by Scripture. And then, Father, I want to hear what your take is, but Scripture and the Catechism. If we open up our catechisms to 2241, you can read the whole thing, but I'll just read a section of it. It says, political authorities, for the sake of the common good for which they're responsible, may make the exercise of right to immigrate subjects to various judicial conditions, especially with regard to immigrants' duties towards the country of the adoption. Immigrants are obliged to respect with gratitude the material and spiritual heritage of the country that receives them, to obey its laws, and assist in carrying out civil burdens. Jesse, that's contrary to what Pope Francis is saying, and I don't want to have to say that. I'm a layman. But Pope Francis, let's go by what we teach, not by, what you personal opinions. I mean, I'm not interested in your personal opinion. I'm interested, like Jesse said, get to heaven. But let's make sure what you're saying is consistent with what I call the perennial teachings of the church. Because I'm going to be honest with you, Father, Jesse, I'm not going to obey anything that's not consistent with the magisterial teachings, what we call the teachings for 2,000 years. If it's not consistent with what the church teaches, the Pope can't change it. He doesn't have that authority. And I tell people that, and then they say, Terry, you're talking bad about the Pope. No, I pray for the Pope every day, Tuesday nights, 2 hours before the Blessed Sacrament. We have prayers for our leaders. I just want the Holy Father to stick to what the church teaches about salvation, because what he's doing right now is, it's frustrating for me, and it's hard for me to evangelize people with the gospel.
Terry, the Bible talks about obey our government leaders, Romans chapter 13.
Paul, yep.
And first of all, just to use your position as the highest prelate in the Catholic Church, to call the leader of another country a King Herod,
yes,
at the very least, Terry, is a lack of charity. Father?
Yeah, so, I mean, let's look at the facts on this whole thing. Herod killed children.
Yep.
Who are the two most vulnerable children, groups of vulnerable children?
Unborn and longborn.
Unborn and the trafficked.
Exactly.
And so let's look at what Trump has done.
Okay.
There's a couple things he has to brush up. For example, after Alabama eradicated abortion, he said he had a caveat that he wanted in there for victims of rape and incest. So I disagree with him on
that. I agree.
But all in all, I agree with Father Pavone that we will not find anyone who's done more for the end of abortion, even though he has to brush up on a couple things
there.
If you look at what he did the first month as president, eradicating that Mexico City pact, I think it was to give money for abortions internationally.
Yep.
I recently saw some stats on how many child traffickers that Trump has put in prison. It's something like, I saw a graph of it, it's like four or five times a year than Obama was put
Praise God.
So this guy is putting a lot of people, and if you really look at the child trafficking world, the anti-child trafficking world, they're actually for building a wall because they understand that along that long Mexico-U.S. border, there's going to be one of two groups ruling that. It's either going to be U.S. Border Patrol or it's going to be coyotes and mules who do horrible things to women and children to bring them across the border. So everyone who's worth their salt in the whole world of anti-trafficking understands that. So to call him Herod, it's just factually inaccurate that he's done more for the two most targeted groups of children who were killed in this country, the unborn and the trafficked. It's just factually wrong.
Well said. I can't argue with either of you. And you know what? Common sense ain't that common right now, because common sense says what we're saying. And I just want, again, I would ask our listeners to pray for Pope Francis every single day. Pray for all of our leaders, because I sometimes look at myself after 40 years of being an evangelist here in the church and going, this isn't making any sense. What is going on in our church? And then I think, well, we've been infiltrated. Like Dr. Marshall said in his book, we have been infiltrated. And so what we need to do, we're not in management, we're in sales, Jesse and myself. And so what do? We get down on our knees, we pray, and we ask you, also our listener, don't run. There's nowhere to go, Jesse. And Father, you know that. We've got to get down and fight like a man and get down on our knees, pull out our rosaries, be holy. That's the answer to this problem.
Yeah, it's a twofold problem. And that's definitely very important, what you just said, Terry. But also talk about it like this amongst...
Absolutely.
And I thank God, Terry, for the fact that there's internet, social media, radio, because years ago, well, just say, you know, maybe the Borgia popes, you know, maybe...
Sure.
You know, in times past, you know, when you've had some a wicked prelate, a wicked bishop, a wicked priest, even bad popes.
Yep.
In times past, we didn't have the ability to put out information and let people know, because at the very least it marshals them to pray, which is important. Now, thank God, because of social media, although the devil has his hands all over social media as well.
Yeah.
But the fact is, we as followers of Christ can also use social media to put this information out as well.
That's right.
And to inform people and to start, like, for example, like Friday, what do we have? This mass reparation day of prayer and fasting all over the world. Why? Because of social media. Right. So it is important to put information like this out. It's not to be critical or to put the dirty laundry of the Catholic Church. It's simply to keep each other accountable as brothers in Christ, like Paul kept Peter accountable in Galatians chapter 2. He says, Peter, what are you doing? Dude, you're a hypocrite. You can't do that. One more point I want to make, I'll turn it over to Father.
Yeah.
As I read this article and some of the things that the Pope says about Trump, about President Trump, to me it sounds more like political rhetoric. I don't want to hear that from my prelates. I want to hear about salvation.
Amen.
Eschatology.
Four last things.
Grace. Holiness.
Yep.
Death, judgment, heaven, hell. I'll make my own decisions when it comes to politics based on my well-formed Christian conscience. I don't really, it just bothersome to hear this type of political rhetoric. I mean, and I even asked myself, so whatever happened to Vatican II's teaching? You just quoted it, 2241.
Yeah.
Allowing countries to regulate their borders.
That's what we teach.
And enforce their immigration border laws. I mean, that's right in Vatican II.
Right.
I mean, you don't even have to go to St. Thomas Aquinas for that. I would like to see him be the czar on immigration. And also, whatever happened to what Jesus Christ said, render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar.
Exactly.
And render to God what belongs to God. Peter said, honor the emperor. Paul said, obey the government. It seems like this has all been violated here with these statements that I disagree with.
Totally agree. Father, your
really,
thought?
Really, really quick thought. Just what you guys are battling against, though, is different from some of the bad Borgia popes. Jesse and I watched a movie last night on St. Francis Xavier and the early Jesuits. It's talked about Pope Paul III, who is a Farnese, and he had fathered at least one kid that he made a cardinal. You know, but the difference back then is doctrine and liturgy were not hushed, and that's where what we're battling of the current infiltration of the past 50 years has been affected. So that's where our battle is very different from those. Those, you know, there may have been popes in the 16th century who occasionally slept with women. Yeah, but never, ever dared to touch doctrine. That's where we're in a weird time.
I think you nailed it, Father. And I just want to quote something from The Day Is Now Far Spent from Robert Cardinal Seurat. It's taken me 3 weeks to read this book. And this one-liners that I think are so good. He quotes different authors back at December 22nd, 1944. George Bernard rightly declared, "We reach hope only through the truth at a great cost." You see, what we're searching for in life is truth. And that's Jesus Christ. And so anybody that gives me something that's not true, it's not going to give me any hope. And so secular humanism, communism, Masons, all this stuff, it's not truth. So that's why what we're trying to say, I think, and this is just my take on it, is let's get back to what is the truth about the meaning and purpose of life. That's the fundamental question of the day.
Terry, another point, as I'm looking at the article, it says here, in this Q&A session, the pontiff also proposed that the rise of populism is at the root of migrants' problems in Europe. And they quote him. He says, "I must admit that I'm shocked by some of the narratives I hear in Europe about borders," the Pope said.
Yeah.
"Populism is gaining strength." Well, here's what's happening in Europe. You have sensible Europeans and Catholics.
Yeah.
They're pushing back because they're saying, wait a minute, this open border stuff has opened up this Islamization of certain European countries, where you have no-go zones. You have hubs of Islamic enclaves,
like in France,
where the police can't even enter them because they get pelted with rocks and bottles. And so Europeans are pushing back against this notion of this libertine immigration system and this open borders. They're saying it doesn't work. And the Pope is saying, well, I'm kind of troubled by this. I don't, you know, this is populism. It's not populism. It's Catholicism. It's common sense. In fact, the Vatican has a huge wall around it. It was built 1,000 years. I forget by what Pope.
Yeah, to protect.
And I've read the history on it. You can go to the history of the Vatican. And it says the reason the Pope put that wall was to keep out Muslim invaders, Muslim invasions. Common sense.
Of course. And Jesse, Father, I'm going to have your comment on this. But my take is, as a father and my family, I have a gate in my front yard. And guess what? Only certain people are welcome to come into my home. And that's not because I think less of people. It's because I have a right to protect my family. And governments have a right to protect their citizens. This is what the church teaches. So I just think that I was like way over the top. But Father, your thoughts?
Yeah, I just took a week-long retreat.
Good.
At a parish in town called Our Lady of Sorrows, and it's not in the best neighborhood in Phoenix. And but they're growing like mad with
good.
Huge walls. They have huge walls around them because of that, with a giant gate, and they're growing like mad. So the church can actually grow with walls.
Hey, man, we're going to come right back with the Terry and Jesse Show. With Father Dave here is with us, joining us. We'll be right back. Get yourself a cup of coffee, some hot tea. We're going to give you some more good news.
Welcome to our January 11th, 2020 Spiritual Warfare Conference. Every year without fail, this is our most popular, well-attended event. This year's Spiritual Warfare Conference will host Adam Bly, a Catholic demonologist and an auxiliary member of the International Association of Exorcists, along with Dr. Luis Sandoval, a psychiatrist who's part of the Healing, Deliverance, and Exorcism team for the Diocese of Orange. These two gentlemen bring tons of experience and expertise in the area of spiritual warfare. This is going to be a high-information Catholic seminar. I'll be there as well, sharing some riveting stories on the diabolical and liberation found through Jesus Christ from my best-selling book, The Devil in the City of Angels. Mark your calendars, come and join us, and meet other radio hosts from Jesus 911. Contrary to popular belief, spiritual warfare is not demon-centered. It's Christ-centered. Come join us and learn how to armor up and fight the good fight of faith. Catholics, wake up. Don't hit the snooze button. Join us at St. Christopher Catholic Church, 629 South Glendora Avenue, West Covina, California, on January 11, 2020. See you then. Strength and honor in Jesus' name.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse and Father Dave are here. We're talking about our next topic now. Why are the U.S. bishops so concerned about Trump's refugee orders? You know, and the answer is follow the money. Jess, what's this all about?
Well, the article says here that is there a conflict of interest behind some of the U.S. Catholic bishops?
You think?
Strong criticisms of President Trump's immigration policy, in particular, his two temporary travel bans. That's the question being raised by a number of experts in foreign policy and Catholic charitable work. Why? Well, these critics are pointing out that in fiscal year 2016, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, USCCB, received more than $91 million, if Father fell off the chair, no, he didn't, $91 million in government funding for refugee resettlement.
That's just this year.
Over the past 9 years, the USCCB has received a total of $588,660.
Yeah.
Over half a million.
Half a billion.
Thank you, Jesse.
It's too big of money. Jesse doesn't understand.
I know,
that.
Yeah. I'm just dealing with 20 bucks, you know, my
exactly,
wallet.
Exactly, brother.
This stuff, it's above my pay grade.
Exactly.
It says, in an appearance on Fox News earlier this month, Raymond Arroyo, managing editor of EWTN News, cautiously suggested, he said, that some of the USCCB's response to Trump's immigration policy may be related to a fear of losing these government contracts.
You think?
That is spot on.
Of course.
He says he suggested or he thinks, no, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
When they're shoveling this type of money into your bank account, Terry, let's just be honest, you're going to be beholden to the person that's shoveling that type of money into your bank account. You're going to be his puppet. Think about a ventriloquist. You know those ventriloquists?
Yeah.
The way they talk, and they got a puppet at the end?
Yeah.
And, you know, they basically channel their voice through the puppet?
Yeah.
This is exactly the connection I see here right now with the federal government and the USCCB.
Yeah.
And these guys are just saying, okay, we want you guys to talk about global warming. Yes, of course. Yeah, look at our bank account. No problem. We want you to talk about illegal immigration, open borders. No problem. When you look at who's giving you your paycheck, and by the way, Terry, I've actually read that almost 50% of the USCCB budget.
That's a fact.
Everybody has an operating cost of business.
Yep.
Budget, sorry. Their budget is $200 million a year. You know, payroll and all that stuff. And the federal government provides almost 50% of their payroll.
They're the biggest donor.
So, let's just be honest. I think Raymond Arroyo is spot on. I'd be a little bit stronger. I'll say, without a doubt, they're afraid of losing their government contracts. What say you, Father?
Father, you go first, because I've got something to say on this.
Real quick thought.
It just hit me.
I didn't plan on this.
That's okay.
But it just hit me.
Yeah.
Who built the second temple that Jesus, Mary, and Joseph would have gone to? It actually wasn't a pious Jew. He was an Edomite. Herod.
Yeah, that's true.
Isn't that interesting?
That is. I never thought
Someone
of that.
Someone who had their finger in both politics and money and was corrupt built the second temple. Therefore, money mixing with politics, mixing with religion, is the true King Herods we need to target.
Well said. I never thought of that, Father. Here's my analogy, Jesse and Father Dave. If you're working for a company, look at your own self. You got a salary. You're getting paid, right? And you're providing for your family, and you got your house payment. You got your car payment. You're doing great. And you find out that your company is funding Planned Parenthood and doing all kinds of horrible things and killing unborn babies. And you have to ask yourself, do I continue to work here and get the funding and stay quiet and let everything go just like normal? Or am I going to be moral and say, you know what, I can't participate in this because I'm participating in this evil? And I would say to the bishops, and I know this analogy, Father, I'm simple. That's my simple analogy, that the bishops have to say our biggest donor, the U.S. government, can go pound sand, and we're not going to go along with their funding just to stay quiet on these moral issues that we need to speak out, because my soul is more important than my pocketbook. Okay, I'm done.
Neil Hudson, he's quoted in this article. He says he's the editor of the Christian Review, former advisor.
Good man, I know him well.
To President Bush, he says this. He takes a dimmer view, saying the magnitude of government funding to both the USCCB and Catholic Relief Service severely muddies the waters.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You think?
Absolutely. Okay. And he says, just how dependent have both agencies become on taxpayer money to cover their annual overhead? Apart from the special programs and services, Hudson asks, what percentage of annual receipts does this federal money represent? Neil Hudson says that he's concerned that there's an overdependence on government funding, which could threaten our Catholic identity of both the USCCB and Catholic Relief Services.
Of course.
And he says, how can either institution call itself Catholic when they have created financial dependency on the federal government? Doesn't this level of funding make the USCCB hesitant to publicly criticize the Congress and the administration on abortion, same-sex marriage, fetal stem cell research, and euthanasia? Of course they're not going to criticize the Culture of Death Party if you're getting, you know, bucket loads of money shoved into your bank account.
Father, before you make your comment, I just want to say I watched the Bishop's Conference, and Raymond Arroyo on his show, the world over, quoted the bishop getting up and saying, here's our report regarding immigration. And the bishop said, here's the money that's coming in. We're going to continue to push immigration because that money is very important to our funding. And I just said, well, there you go. The guy exposed what these guys are speculatively saying. Come on, Jess. It's not speculative. It's a fact. The bishop admitted it. That money's critically important to fund our efforts here at the Bishops' Conference. So they confirmed what the speculation is. It's just true. And here's the thing, and I'll turn it back over to Father. The fact is, the reason we're bringing this up is not to beat up on any bishop. You know what the fact is? We want the truth to come out so that we can say, wait a minute, this is not right. Let's go back to what the truth is about salvation. What's the truth about our purpose in life? And not deal with, you know, funding of, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars from the government and just keeping afloat our payroll and all this. We've got to look at what the supernatural aspect of this is. And that's what bishops are supposed to do. They're supposed to be our fathers. Matter of fact, for priests, the bishop is their father, their spiritual father. That's the role a bishop should be playing. But Father, if I'm wrong, correct me.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And, you know, Terry, you're always looking for solutions, not just the problems.
Absolutely,
a
brother.
For you here.
Yeah.
You know, in a time when people are so shocked by the priest's sexual scandal and people are shocked by the bishop's financial scandal.
Okay.
Let's go back to Christ and the apostles.
Amen.
Why did Christ expect the apostles to be poor, obedient, and chaste? I think a lot of lay people think, well, that's because they're going to deny themselves some pleasure, so they have some higher pleasure in heaven. There's a little truth to that.
Yeah.
Some lay people think, well, they're celibate, so they can bring me the sacraments, have more time to bring the sacraments. That's probably top ten reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But the number one reason we're celibate is to cling to the Lord with an undivided heart.
Amen.
Have that relationship with Christ. But another one of the top 10 reasons, I don't know where it falls in with the sacraments, another of these top 10 reasons why we're expected to live poverty, chastity, and obedience is this. And this is something a lot of people miss.
Yeah, I'm listening.
when we live poverty, or at least simplicity, I've heard describe poverty as having less than what you need. Simplicity is having what only what you need.
Okay.
When we have one of those, when we have poverty, what that means is that I can't be bought out at a price. I can't be bought out politically. I can't be bought out doctrinally. When I am actually trying to live simplicity or poverty, I cannot be bought out. This is why Christ made the apostles poor, so that no kings in Ethiopia or Armenia, where all these guys went, would actually buy him out. Chastity. We were all shocked at all these scandals, but here's doctrinally another reason for chastity.
Tell me.
Nothing to lose. If I get kicked out of my digs, I don't have a family when I get moved parishes. If I offend someone in a parish that's having many times get moved, I don't have to move my whole family, right?
Yep.
So when we live poverty and chastity, if you look at all the bishop saints, if you look at all the priestly saints, what that meant is they two things. They had nothing to lose, and they could never be bought out by a price.
Amen.
So this is central as we talk about $500 million over 9 years for refugee resettlement program.
Yeah.
They don't have the freedom to actually live the life of total freedom of the apostles, where you say, nobody can buy me out because I'm sold out for Christ, and nobody can actually tell me where to go because I have my sights set on heaven, and therefore I have nothing to lose, not even a family, because I'm in this for the salvation of as many people as possible.
Well said, Father. And I got to say this, that evangelization in the church was hit with those chastity, obedience, poverty, because when we came in to evangelize pagans, you know what they first thought? I read this. Oh, you're here for our women. Oh, you're here for our money. Oh, you're here for power. And we come in and go, you know what? I don't have a wife. I don't have anything. I'm it, man. And they're going, what? The real deal? These guys want to help me with my salvation of my soul? That's it. I'm not driving a fancy car. I don't live in a fancy house. This is it. And I'm telling you, Father, that's the kind of evangelization that brought the gospel to so many souls.
Yeah, we watched a movie last night, St. Francis Xavier.
Tell us.
Exactly. That was exactly what he did, what you guys are talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, he went barefoot.
Really?
You know, this all reminds me of what St. Paul says also. One verse sums it up. The love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy, I think it's 6:10.
Yep.
The love of money, not money, money. Money's just a commodity, not good or bad. The love of money is the root of all evil, and that's why in the seven deadly sins, one of them is called greed or avarice, okay? Because that's that voracious appetite, more, more, more. And when you're getting this type of money from the federal government, that's going to make you avaricious. That's going to make you greedy. Here's one last thing I want to mention, Terry. This is a troubling statement Bishop McElroy told about 650 participants at a world meeting of popular movements in San Diego. He told them that you must, quote, all become disruptors in response to Trump's policies.
Sad.
Is this microphone on?
Yeah, I can't.
A bishop calling lay people to become disruptors? He says, McElroy said, immigration is the key issue we have to face in our local church at this moment. Terry, that's the rhetoric of Antifa. That's the rhetoric of Occupy Wall Street,
you
Black Lives Matter, the Mexican Mafia, George Soros, socialism. That's not the language becoming of a Catholic bishop.
Well said, Jesse. When we come back, we're going to talk about George Soros. You brought it up, about $650,000. What did he do? Who did he give it to? When you come back, we'll tell you. Get yourself a cup of coffee. Make it strong. You're going to need it on this one. We'll be right back with much more.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoramus Society. Adoramus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies, featuring Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Karstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14th, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today for Adoramus at the Triduum.
Sirach 11:24 says, "Do not say, 'I am self-sufficient. What harm can come to me now?'" According to St. Catherine of Siena, presumption is like vermin burrowing at the root of the tree of our soul. If we do not uproot it with great care and humility, it will eventually destroy the soul. May God keep us from all presumption of mind and heart, and realize that we depend on Him for everything.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Praise God, rated PG. That's what this show is, the Terry and Jesse Show. Two Catholics with a PhD in common sense. You can't study that in any modernist university, Terry. Hey, there's a... I just want to mention just one last thing about the last topic. Yeah. As Dale Hudson did say, how can the Catholic Church be a free prophetic voice when it has created a financial dependence on the federal government? What's the answer? It can't.
No.
Which leads to another topic, Terry.
Yeah.
I believe that the hands of George Soros is behind a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, tell us who George Soros is for those who don't know. We all talk about him. He's this billionaire. Tell us about
him. Yeah, he's an atheist, anti-Catholic, socialist billionaire who made all his money hedge funding.
Yep.
And George Soros, there's an article here that broke with LifeSite News several years ago, but it was just worth mentioning today just to show the type of connections that we see with people that are socialist and political anarchists with those people in the leadership in our church. It says George Soros paid $650,000 to influence bishops during the Pope's U.S. visit. And this was exposed through WikiLeaks. He's also one of Hillary Clinton's top donors. And the problem is, Terry, is once again, when you start receiving this type of money from somebody, you're going to be beholden. There's some accountability. In other words, they're going to start asking you for favors. Let's just make it easy.
That's how it works.
Okay?
Yep.
If I, Jesse Romero, you know, give you a $2,000 so that you could put a down payment on a car, buy yourself a jalopy. Trust me, I'm going to call on favors.
Of course.
As soon as I need a favor.
Yep.
And here's what we have here. It troubles me as a Catholic to see this type of money being given to the U.S. bishops for the Pope's visit by George Soros. Where is that money? Where are these refugee resettlement centers? I've lived in California. I've never seen one there. I live in Arizona. I haven't seen one here. Where are these refugee resettlement centers? Where is all this money going to? That's the question I'm asking myself. I could tell you where some of the money's going to, not all of it. CNN, that I don't really watch them, but every now and then, a broken clock, it tells the right time twice a day. CNN did an article, you could Google it, where they showed the mansions of a lot of our bishops and cardinals in the U.S. $5 million homes, $7 million homes, $10 million homes. My question is, I'm just asking the question, is this where some of the money's going, Terry? Because all you have to do is Google the homes of many of the U.S. bishops. Can't say that about my bishop. He lives in the ghetto, okay? He lives in a rectory with a bunch of priests in a poor barrio of Phoenix, the one here in Phoenix. Okay?
I know it.
He doesn't live where the former bishop used to live, in a nice home. He says, "No, I'm not living there. I'm living amongst the people." But I'm telling you, that's the exception. That's not the norm. Terry or Father?
Father, you go ahead because you're.
Well, I mean, just this line here was pretty shocking.
Yeah.
Where was that? Well, to become disruptors. $500 million. I've never seen a refugee resettlement center. So it does seem to me that if this money is coming from Soros, and they, you guys just provided proof, $650,000 is pocket change for Soros, but it shows, it still shows some trail. And then to have a bishop actually say, for all to become disruptors, that's exactly Soros' goal. So if we don't have refugee resettlement centers, and at least one bishop is saying we need everyone to become a disruptor, and the money's coming from Soros, then it shows it's actually not for the poor. All of this speak is actually to cause disorder, to unravel the church, and unravel this country. It's for disorder, not for the poor. Let's be really clear about that, because I'm all for the poor.
Amen.
I want to walk the streets as a hermit and hand out miraculous medals to the poor.
I love it.
We're not anti-poor in supporting Trump. We're saying, where's this $500 million? Causing disorder is not going to help the poor at all.
Father, well said. And I just say the article also additionally says that the report that their funding was helpful to counter, and I never used the word gay. You know what, Father? I'm gay. I'm a happy dude. So I used the word homosexual, okay? Because that's what it is. They says that this funding was helpful to counter homosexual rhetoric in the media. The efficacy of the media campaign can be seen in the team's ability to react to and counter anti-homosexual rhetoric following. You guys remember Kim Davis? Yeah, she's the Kentucky County clerk who was jailed for defying a federal court, God bless her, to issue marriage licenses to homosexual couples when the Pope was visiting. You guys all remember that, right? Well, here's my point. Soros wants this. I believe, Father, and I'm going to stand out and say this right now. There's such a strong push in the Catholic Church right now to normalize same-sex activity. And notice I didn't say, I got no problem with someone who has a same-sex attraction. It's acting on it, okay? That's where I've got the problem. Just like I'm a called to be a chaste man as a married man, a single man's called to be chaste, a homosexual is called to be chaste. But there's a big push right now in the church with hierarchy pushing to normalize homosexual relations. If I'm wrong, correct me, gentlemen.
Terry, I think you're spot on. Here's, I think, the cash value here for this article. I know her attorney, Elizabeth Yore, who served on the Heartland Institute delegation that traveled to the Vatican in April 2015 to urge Pope Francis to reexamine his reliance on UN population control proponents who promote climate change.
Oh, yeah.
Elizabeth Yore, an attorney and a former judge, she says, Catholics serve as a huge and influential voting bloc in the U.S. election. She said, Soros is using the head of the Catholic Church to influence this key voting bloc with the bully pulpit of the papacy.
Yep.
To ensure, and she says, the article says, you pointed out this is not the first time that the unholy alliance of Soros and the Vatican successfully collaborated on a political project. In 2015, Elizabeth Yore said the Soros operatives embedded in the Vatican, notice embedded, they're there.
That's it.
Directed Pope Francis' environmental agenda by delivering for Soros and the UN an apostolic exhortation on climate change and a prize papal endorsement of the UN Sustainable Development Goals and the Pope Apostolic's blessing on the Paris Climate Treaty, which, by the way, President Trump pulled out of that.
Yep.
And the last part of it says, in terms of the Soros goal, this is key here. His goal is the shifting the priorities of the Catholic Church away from the moral absolutes. Two bishops stand out as champions of this move.
Big time.
San Diego Bishop Robert McElroy has repeatedly stressed changing the church's priorities and has had the backing of Pope Francis' favorite son, Chicago Archbishop Blaise Cupich. McElroy created a furor at the U.S. Bishops' Conference meeting last November over his attempt to change a document instructing Catholics how to vote and concluding the report on the success of the grant to influence the papal visit. The Soros Group was very pleased with the results, and looking to the future, the Soros Group is very excited that the long-term goal of shifting the priorities of the Catholic bishops in the United States is now underway.
And just to prove what you're saying, Jesse, at the Bishop's Conference, Bishop McElroy, he made a strong statement saying that we're out of priorities when we say that immigration is below abortion. And Archbishop Chaput stood up and said, you're full of baloney. I'm using nice language. And also Bishop Strickland also spoke up from Tyler, Texas, and said, no, I don't agree with that. Here's the point, Jesse. Everything we're saying is sad to have to say it. But you know what, folks? We're at the end of our show, and I want to make sure Father gives us a blessing. Jesse, with all this bad news that we gave today, what's the good news that gives people hope? Who is it that we have our hope in, brother?
Jesus Christ and Christ alone. That's why the Bible in the Old Testament says don't put your trust in princes.
Exactly.
Think about that, okay? That's, I think, Psalm 84, Psalm 82.
Yeah.
Do not put your trust in princes. Ahem. That's all I can say.
Yep.
So the five stones that we should be using against the culture of death is Goliath. Is number one, every Catholic out there, pray the rosary every day and pray it from your heart.
Amen.
And don't pray it like you're selling tacos or selling, you know, used cars. Pray it from your heart.
Amen.
Number two, go to Mass as often as possible. Every Sunday, holy days of obligation, without fail. But try to go to Mass, especially you retirees, during the week as often as possible. We need prayer power. We need grace to be flowing through the air. And also, like tonight's my holy hour night. I'm going from midnight to 1 in the morning with my wife. We do a holy hour every Monday night. Find a time to give Jesus a whole hour of silence in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Third stone against the culture of death. Read your Bible every day. What do you do? I don't know how to read the Bible. Read the Mass readings. Go on the iPhone, look at them. It'll take 5 to 7 minutes and say do the words of the prophet Samuel. Speak, Lord, your servant is
Amen.
Listening. Read the daily Mass readings. Fourth stone, Fridays, penance. Find something to do on Fridays. Bump it up, penance. Want to go old school Wednesdays and Fridays. And the fifth stone, live in a state of grace. But you got to live in a state of grace, you need at least monthly confession with a priest. And you need nightly examination of conscience and an act of contrition.
And don't forget, folks, I know you have sons or daughters not living the faith right now. What did Our Lady of Fatima say? Souls are going to hell because no one's there to pray and make sacrifices for them. Make those sacrifices. And before I turn it back over to Father, I want to get a blessing. I want to also remind you, at the beginning of the show, we had the Bishop of Peoria talk about a 9-day novena. The way to get that is to go to celebratesheen.com, and we all want to start it on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe because we want to see Bishop Sheen be called Blessed Fulton Sheen, and after that, Saint Bishop Sheen, because the Church is in great need of that. Father, any other advice on the spiritual side to stay strong?
I think those are the great five stones you guys are promoting. That's
every
it.
Day, brother.
I got my support for those.
Yeah, I hear you. How about, Jesse, how about a blessing from Father? For
absolutely. Let me just mention that this weekend I'm going to be at New Mexico. I'm going to be at Our Lady of Mercy Catholic Church in Hatch, New Mexico. That's
good.
Friday. And on Saturday also, if you want more information, just go to my website, jesseromero.com. I'm going to be doing the talks in Spanish on Friday. And on Saturday, they'll be in English. Also, my Poland trip, for those of you that want to go to Poland, go to my website. It's May 13th to the 22nd. If you want to go out there for 9 days and get holy or die trying and receive plenty of indulgences every single day. Can you imagine that?
Father,
give us the blessing.
I want to get a blessing, but before I do that, how can people contact you about helping you build your monastery? Can you please give us
just a small hermitage.
Yeah.
Trying to raise $250,000, which will only get me about 700.
But how can they help you, brother?
PadrePeregrino.org.
Great.
Dominus Fobiscum.
Et tu spiritu tuo.
And for all your listeners, Benedictio de Omnipotente, Patris. Amen.
Amen. Jesse Romero, I got a big question every day I ask you. What state should we be living in, brother?
Don't live in the state of mortal sin. Get out of that state. Jump into the state of grace and stay there. And if you're living in a state of mortal sin, get the hell out of there and go to confession as soon as possible. Don't park your car there. Don't even cruise by there.
You got it. That's what we say. If you're waiting for someone to ask you to go to confession, that's us. Every day on the Terry and Jesse Show, we want to help you fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church, and full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And thanks for your donations, especially your monthly donations that help pay our monthly bills. May God richly bless you. Go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. God love you. See you again tomorrow, same time, same Christ station.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.